Hi, I'm Phil Newman, and welcome to the Impact Online podcast. We are so glad you're here.
Well, hey, everyone. It's great to have you with us. Two things I want to highlight before we get into the word today. Firstly, this coming week in Australia, we celebrate Anzac Day, where we honour and celebrate the great men and women who have served and continue to serve our great nation. And if you are a service person, if you are connected in any way, if you have someone in your family, please know that as a church, you have our honor, you have our gratitude, and you have our celebration. And perhaps you've even lost someone in that space. Please know that as a church, there is nothing but celebration, love, and appreciation for your family and your friends in the wonderful name of Jesus. But connected to Anzac Day is this week we released our fortnightly podcast, I'm Talking, and I'm just so proud, so pleased of the tone of this conversation, getting such great feedback right around the place from within our church and our community and beyond our circles of I'm Talking and the great messy, authentic conversation that it is. And in regards to Anzac, this conversation, this podcast was about what it's like for service people after they have served. What's it like, the battle, if you like, after the physical war? What's it like to reintegrate? What's it like to reconnect with family, friends, to build a new life after, and the challenges around that? And so I interviewed a service person and a counselor, and I tell you, I really think it was a real blessing, even if you haven't served, to actually be able to understand what it's like to have served, so that we can be a community, we can be people who can serve and love and I guess create a culture and a community of kindness and safety for people. So that's all around Anzac for Impact Church. But grab your Bibles and turn to Isaiah 54. It says this: "Sing, barren woman, you who never bore a child. Burst into song, shout for joy, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes." A great promise from God and great faith steps from God. This year, we have called the year of growth on every front. It's a God word. It's a God word for us as a church. It's a God word for every individual, for your career, your family, your health, your faith, your future. We are believing this year to be a year of significant breakthrough, significant growth, great steps in God's promised journey for your life. But today, I want to drill down on part of this passage where God says to this woman, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, and he says, do not hold back. Do not hold back. Other versions say, spare not. Today, I want to speak to you about having faith that spares not. Be a person when you're believing God, when you are living for God, when you are on that edge of breakthrough, when you're believing for his promise, be a person who spares not. Literally, what God was saying to this woman was, you can expand as large as you possibly can think of, as large as you possibly can imagine, but in that, don't give 50%, don't give 90%, don't give 95%, don't leave anything in the tank. Don't have any margin left, but believe me for the fullness of the promise. You know, this word spare in the Hebrew, it comes from a word that means to withhold or keep for oneself. God's saying to her, don't withhold anything. He's saying, as you believe me, as you step up, as you respond, as you start to activate the faith for the promise that I've given you, don't withhold anything. Don't keep anything for yourself. If you bring it into today's language, I think it would mean something like, don't store up anything for a rainy day. Don't have a plan B. Don't have a reserve. Don't have a contingency. Don't have a fallback plan. Believe God for it all. You know, think of your car, my car. I would say almost every car that's on the road at the moment, we drive on four wheels. And those four wheels are there, but almost every car that is driven in the trunk, in the boot, or on the back of the car, or underneath the car, or somewhere on the car, there is a spare. there is a spare tire that should you go on a road that there's something sharp or a pothole and you damage one of your wheels, then you've got a spare. You've got somewhere that you can go that you've got a fallback plan. God says, when it comes to faith though, don't travel with a spare. Don't have a plan B. You know, a lot of people, I've spoken to people who have in, say, their career, they are doing the God thing for their lives, but in their planning, in their financial planning, in their timetable planning, in their scheduling, in their 5-year, 10-year, 20-year plan, there is a spare tire. There is a plan B. There is a contingency. And what's happened then is that rather than occupying their whole lives with living for Jesus and doing what he's called them to do in life, that they'd rather go, you know what, I'll give 90%, 80% to God, but I'll keep this area just as reserve. In case this doesn't work out, I've got this to fall back on. If this type of risk doesn't work out, I've got this as a plan B. I've got this thing. If God doesn't come through, then I can rely on this. What God's saying in this passage is don't live like that. Don't be a person who has something tucked away that if God doesn't, then I can. I tell you, that's not faith. That's not saying, God, I give my whole heart to you. I give my whole life to you. I'm believing for you to do everything that you've called me to do. Everything that you've said you'll do, you'll do. Spare not. Do not hold back. Be a person who doesn't withhold, doesn't keep something for yourself, doesn't store up for a rainy day, but be a person who believes God. You know, thinking about Peter, with all the disciples who was there in the boat, and Jesus said, hey, walk, come to me, Peter. Why don't you come? And Peter stepped out of the boat. Peter had a choice in that moment to spare or spare not, to play it safe or to risk it all and to believe God. He would never have experienced the fullness of God's miracle and defied gravity, walked on the water, if he had spared, if he had held onto the boat. Hey, Jesus, I've got 2 feet out of the boat, but I've still got one hand. Oh, Jesus, I'm out of the boat, but I've got a rope connecting me to safety. I'm out of the boat, I'm on the water, but I'm just gonna take this little life raft with me. God says, no, don't have a plan B. Believe me or not, be out of the boat or in the boat. Spare or spare not. Friends, I wanna encourage you, you are designed and called to live a radical life out of the boat, seeing God break through in your family, with your kids, in your relationships, friendships, in your family, seeing God break through in your marriage, in your finances, in your health, in your career, in every sphere of your life. In our church, we are believing God for great things, Heart of Impact, our 7 projects, every week, our community engagement, all our programs, our Indigenous outreach, what's happening in Indonesia, to see your friends, your family, find Jesus, to see the power of God move in everything that we're doing. We are not, Lord, we're kind of out of the boat, but we've got some safety nets in place. We're going to believe you mostly, but we're just going to keep this 10%, this 20%, just tucked away for a rainy day. We're not a church like that. We're a church that says, Lord, we're not going to spare anything. We're not going to withhold anything. We are out of the boat. We're on the water. We are expanding in every front. We're enlarging the tent as much as possible. We are living lives of faith, living lives of risk, believing you, trusting you, so that we can see the fullness of your promise. Amen. So 3 thoughts today, and I hope it encourages you, and I really do hope, even for me, that it challenges us to really make sure, Lord, that we're not 99%, but we are 100% believing and seeing God do what he wants to do. Number one, what being all in, sparing not takes is, number one, trust in God. Trust in God. Most people, everyone, we all put our trust in something. We put our trust in money. We can put our trust in our boss. We can put our trust in our church. We can put our trust in people. in our parents, in career advisors, financial advisors, doctors, politicians, certain social media influencers. We put our trust in a whole lot of people. And hey, we can have, I guess, confidence and trust in certain people, but let it never be greater than the trust we put in Jesus. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord, look at this, with all your heart. That's a spanot verse right there. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not 80%, 50%, 90% with all your heart. That is a get out of the boat, don't take a plan B, don't take a contingency, step out of the boat, focus on Jesus and see him do a miracle. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. I tell you, you know those crunch moments in your life, those crunch points where you know that God is asking you to trust him. I look back at my life and they don't happen every day. There's a whole lot of faithfulness, a whole lot of consistency that takes us to between these crunch moments, these points, these tangent points of faith where we know in our spirits, we know in our hearts, oh, this is a fork in the road type of moment. This is a faith-defining decision. Do I trust God or do I trust my education? Do I trust God or do I trust my emotion? Do I trust God or do I trust what I think is best? And this passage makes it really clear. Our education, it's awesome. I'm educated. I hope you're educated. Our hard work, I work hard. I hope you work hard. Our experience, I've learned from my experiences. I hope you have too. Those things are great, but this passage says, don't lean on them. Lean on God. To be an all-in, spare-not type of person, like this woman needed to be, to see generational blessing flow from her small, desolate tent, she needed to be an all-in, spare-not type of person. Number one, trust in God. Number two, trust in people. Trust in people, Phil. You just said not to trust in people. I'll explain it this way. The church, not just our church, but the church, is filled with imperfect people. You want to know how I know that? You're in it. I'm in it. God's church, God's people are imperfect. Yet, God chooses to use people. God has chosen to use you. Hey, I think of our team, the people that I work with, serve you with, the people that I rub shoulders with in a leadership sense. And I am aware of some of their flaws, some of their shortcomings, some of their blind spots, as I'm sure they are overwhelmingly aware of my blind spots, my flaws. Those of you watching, don't roll your eyes too much. But all of us, we serve Jesus as best as we can, and we trust that God would use us, imperfect people, to do his work and to build his church. You know, in our lives, God uses people. And so if we dismiss people because of their mistakes, dismiss people because of their shortcomings, dismiss people because we don't like them or because of this, I think we can really miss out on the people that God's called us to receive from. Ecclesiastes speaks about, you know, that two are better than one. So at the end of the day, God's plan is never for any of us to be alone or in isolation or to serve him or do what God's called us to do or to go through battles alone. We are all called to be with people. One of my favorite passages, one of our core scriptures, core values as a church, belonging, that God sets, Psalm 68:6, God sets the lonely in family. We're called to be with people. God will use accidental people, people who are intended or not, people that we rub shoulders with. God will use accidental people to serve us, sharpen us, be a blessing to us. God will use well-meaning people, people who are there intentionally to serve you, to help you, to bless you, to bring justice or support or comfort to you. Well-meaning people. Hey, because God's God, He can even use not just well-meaning people, He can use even mean people. He can use enemies, people who are there to hurt you, harm you, betray you, disappoint you, backstab you, ride over you, intimidate you. God can use people. And so don't dismiss people, but trust the God in people and trust that God can use people. Number one, trust in God. Number two, trust in people. And number three, trust in yourself. Throughout the Bible, we read time and time again, God using very imperfect people. In fact, time and time again, it's like their humanity, their flaws, their blind spots are quite described, quite shown, almost to show us and to encourage us, see this broken person, God used them, so that when we look in the mirror and see our flaws, our brokenness, we can be encouraged that if God used them, He can use us. Hey, God's called you. God has appointed you. God has anointed you. God has prepared you. God has a platform for you. God trusts you. God has called you. You know, we read in Esther 4 that God, who knows that God has raised Esther to this royal position for such a time as this. She was imperfect. She made mistakes, but God chose her. Peter, the miraculous water-walking disciple, he made some incredible mistakes, but God used him. David committed some of the most emotional, passionate crimes, yet was a mighty man of God, that God even said, he's after my own heart. God, with all of his emotional problems, God used him. Hey, with all of your stuff, God uses you. So trust yourself. If you're in your workplace, God wants to use you. If you're in our church, God wants to use you. In your family, God wants to use you. In your friendship circles, God wants to use you. Wherever you have been placed, you are a citizen of heaven, an ambassador of the kingdom of God. You are being used by God. So number one, to be a spare not type of person, trust in God. Number two, trust in people. And number three, trust in yourself. All of this is made possible because of God. Our world is looking for what do I trust in? How do I live this type of risky life? And looking for being self-made people, self-educated people. How can I prevent myself from making mistakes? And we all know we will always make mistakes. The difference is that when we have Jesus, His grace is sufficient and He helps us overcome. If you don't yet know Jesus, it's not about whether your sin disqualifies you. It's not about whether your mess disqualifies you. It's your sin and your shame and your mess that is attractive to the grace of God. Jesus died on the cross for your sin. Jesus died for your mess. He doesn't condemn and expose. He embraces and He forgives. If you need to be included in a prayer to get your life right with Him, join me today. Lord, I thank You for people who for the first time or again are getting their life right with You, asking for Your forgiveness of their sin and of their mess. And I thank You in the name of Jesus that Your grace, Your love, and Your peace would fill their hearts and minds today in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. For us all, whether you are new to Jesus or known Jesus for many years, spare not. Don't hold back. Don't give God 80%, 50%, 90%. Give Him 100%. Spare not and see what He does in Jesus' name. God bless.
Thanks for listening to our Impact Online podcast. We release a new episode every week and you can access all our podcasts and videos via our website. Visit impactchurch.me for lots of extra resources. We'll see you next time at Impact Online.